So as we pray the creed on Sundays, we know we profess a belief in the church that is apostolic, built upon the foundations of the apostles, St. Matthew being one of those. And an extra blessing for him, I guess, as the author of one of the Gospels. But what an amazing scene this is. And hopefully we're familiar with Caravaggio's painting of the calling of Matthew. But he's at his customs post, and Jesus passes by and simply calls him, "Follow me." And we can probably imagine that this was not their first encounter, and that Matthew had been acquainted with Jesus in some way. But this is the moment of decision. As Jesus passed by, he called him. In his normal, ordinary course of his life, he wasn't doing some religious activity. He didn't set aside time to encounter God. He didn't go away on some retreat. All those things are good and necessary. But where Matthew encountered him was at his job, his normal daily life, and Christ passed by. We can be confident that we can have the same encounter. Really, truly, substantially, as you approach to receive Holy Communion, Christ will be passing by. You will be face to face with him. But as you leave here, when you go back home, or you go to your office, or you go to throughout your daily tasks, ask for that grace to have your eyes open, your heart open, to notice Christ as he passes by. And that simple two-word invitation, "Follow me." And Jesus didn't stop all the activity and get face-to-face and whatever else. As he passed by, "Follow me." So often we kind of set an expectation for our encounter with Jesus. And if it doesn't meet that expectation, then we discount it. This is very simple, very common. And this is how the Lord comes to us. And he came to a sinner, a tax collector, one of the worst sinners in the eyes of the people, a traitor to his own people, basically stealing from his brothers to line his own pockets. And that's who Christ came to. That's who Christ called. Because he came to call the sinners. And we can pray for that grace as well, to see ourselves in that camp. It's not always easy or fun to identify ourselves that way, to see ourselves that way. But if we're not that way, then we don't need Jesus. And he need not pass by us. He need not call us. But he calls. He calls to each one of us, as St. Paul so beautifully says in that first reading from Ephesians chapter 4. And St. Paul exhorts us to live in a manner worthy of these calls. And there's different offices, there's different jobs, there's different ways in which we are expected to respond, each one according to whom we are, according to the grace that we have received. But each one necessary. So St. Paul says that in our particular callings, our particular states of lives, we are in some way building up to full stature the body of Christ. And so we need that grace to encounter Jesus today, to hear him calling, and then the grace to respond. Matthew left everything, his livelihood, his job, his status, he left everything to follow Jesus. A few chapters later, he tells us about the rich young man who didn't. And he went away sad because he had many possessions. He preferred to cling to the life that he had built. As Christ passes by and calls us, he's inviting us to a radical way of life that requires leaving everything behind. If we notice in the world, there's a certain darkness a certain lack of the fervor of the Spirit. Maybe it's because we haven't heard and answered the call. Maybe it's because we are not doing our part to build up the body of Christ in the world. So we need that humility to recognize our absolute dependence on God for everything. And that He has the right to ask us to leave it all behind, because He has and He will, inviting each one of us into a life of radical discipleship. And so we ask St. Matthew to pray for us. We ask for his intercession, and by the powerful witness of his life, that throughout this day and every day, as Christ passes by, and we will hear his voice, and we will heed the command, that today and every day we will simply follow him.